The drug fentanyl has been at the center of San Francisco's recent opiate overdose outbreaks, as we heard in that story. It's a drug 100 times more potent than morphine, according to Philip Coffin. He's the director of substance abuse research at the San Francisco Department of Public Health. He studied the recent opiate overdose outbreaks in San Francisco. Coffin came by our studios, and I asked him about the policy of harm reduction, like giving opiate antidotes to drug users.
So one would say it's just simply public health. It's the same thing that we do with any other intervention. For example, cars are really dangerous. Motor vehicle accidents are have been the leading cause of death, of accidental death or injury-related death in the United States for many, many decades, only recently surpassed by opiate-related deaths. However, we haven't responded by banning cars. Instead, we've responded by trying to make cars safer. So we have seatbelts and we have speed limit laws, these things that kind of put some constraints on cars or make a car safer for when you do get in an accident, you're less likely to die, which would be the seatbelt. Seatbelts don't prevent accidents, right? Fire extinguishers in your kitchen don't prevent fires, but they make it less likely that your house is going to burn down. Likewise, harm reduction is about taking something that exists. We're not going to get rid of drug use altogether in society. We tried to get rid of alcohol use with prohibition, and that didn't fly so well. So we recognize that alcohol, marijuana, opiates, stimulants, these drugs are here. They're in our society. They're most likely going to be here forever or for at least the long run. And so the goal is to make these substances as less harmful to society as possible. Some of that means trying to, sometimes it means trying to prevent use or delay use or minimize use. Sometimes it means expanding treatment options so that people can stop using or reduce their use. And sometimes it means preventing more of the secondary consequences of use like HIV, hepatitis C, overdose death, and all of these other problems that can occur related to drugs.
So with your analogies with the car and the kitchen, someone listening might say, well, I have to use my car and I have to use my kitchen, but I don't have to use drugs. What would you say to that?
Well, some people have to use drugs. They've gotten themselves into, or their body or their genetics or their life or their history of personal trauma has gotten them into a situation where they have a dependency, a use disorder related to their drug use. And there's also a lot of things that we, and then to make another analogy, there's a lot of things that we don't have to do. For example, we don't have to eat donuts. And we don't have to eat sweets all of our lives. Yet when a person develops type 2 diabetes, which has a genetic component, just like addiction does, but is often caused or at least accelerated by eating lots of sugary and fatty foods over a long time in a person's life, we don't turn around and blame that person for getting diabetes. And we don't turn around and tell that person, hey, I'll treat your diabetes when you stop eating sugar. We treat their diabetes. And even if they keep eating sugar and keep sneaking donuts, we still keep treating their diabetes and trying to prevent the heart disease, the blindness, the kidney disease, the amputations that can result from untreated diabetes.
So let's talk about one of the more popular opiates nowadays, which is fentanyl. And you've called it, I was doing some reading, and you called it one of the scarier or scariest even, I think you said, opiates on the street right now. What is it? What's fentanyl?
So fentanyl is a synthetic opiate that is around about 100 times more potent than morphine or heroin is.
100 times?
Yeah, 50 to 100 times, depending on the source you look at.
So that's something anybody who's had surgery can maybe imagine if they've had a shot of morphine. So 100 times stronger than that. And then what is the effect of fentanyl on the human body, on the brain? Can you just let us know?
So fentanyl is a opiate agonist. So it stimulates the mu opioid receptors in the brain, as well as other opioid receptors in the body, and causes basically the same things as any other opiates. Opiates are functionally, most of them are quite similar, whether it's heroin or morphine or oxycodone or hydrocodone or hydromorphone. You know, the brand names of these drugs are Cadian, Dilaudid, Percocet, Vicodin. Medically, it's usually administered most commonly as a patch. So when somebody has severe pain that that can't be managed with other medications and they require long-acting opioid medications, oftentimes they'll get a patch that has fentanyl in it and they'll remove that patch every 3 days. The fentanyl that we've been seeing on the street is not actually medical fentanyl that's been diverted, but instead is generally illicitly manufactured fentanyl coming from Canada, China, Mexico, and I believe there may be some emerging in locally U.S.-produced shops because it's actually not that hard to produce fentanyl.
Hmm. Well, I guess my final point, the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy said he's making the opiate abuse problem a top priority. Today is International Overdose Awareness Day, a global event to raise awareness of overdose and reduce the stigma of drug-related death. Where do we stand now in San Francisco? We've had these three outbreaks. What's happening right now?
So we haven't seen much in terms of fentanyl in the last 4 or 5 months.
Why do you think that is?
So I can only speculate. My hope is that what I'm really hoping that we avoid is a time when fentanyl contaminates heroin, if people start mixing fentanyl into heroin, because that's when things go really south. People start dying really fast, and we have a hard time getting control in it. That's what's happened on the East Coast, and I'm really hoping we don't see that here. That's what I'm scared of, and I hope doesn't happen.